And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The Leafs are looking for a new GM. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 23, Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Jake?
One more firing since we last spoke. Hopefully by the time we're not off this record, Nick, that nobody else gets fired in the NHL, but that's certainly been the theme of the week. And playoff race, it's been exciting. Love that Ducks-Sharks game on Wednesday night. That really felt like a playoff game to me.
The Vancouver one did it as well. I have no clue what I watched in that game, but I'll take 14 goals in an 8-6 final for the Vancouver Canucks. But means that is our lead story. The Toronto Maple Leafs looking for a new GM. And who knows, Pete Jensen was down at an analytics conference in Denver. Maybe they found they find the replacement over there. Could that be possible?
I heard that there was a big roar when he mentioned something about finding a data-driven guy to be the next guy in Toronto. So yeah, let's be honest, it's a bloody mess. It's been a mess all year long for the Maple Leafs. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And again, something we talked about in the previous couple episodes, Jake, is from a fantasy standpoint, are some of these Maple Leafs buy low candidates are coming off down seasons. Matthews, Nylander, I think Tavares has actually had a pretty sneaky good season, but those two players in particular, whether it's a dynasty format or a keeper format, if you're looking to buy low, I would say those are probably the top two targets this offseason.
Well, Nick, I know you got the pulse on the situation there. It's Joe Wall, the goalie, going into next year. Nyes, Nylander, Matthews, do we see bounce back from a lot of these fouls? I guess that's going to depend on the general manager coming in and what they do with this roster. I feel like it's going to be more of a retool. It certainly doesn't sound like it's going to be any sort of rebuild. So I would expect those core group of players to still be there. And then that begs the question, what do we expect from this team going into next year? Can they retool and actually get this back to being a team closer to that they were last year and a playoff team again?
Yeah, the prime files fantasy-wise are going to be Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Nyes, and I'm really interested to see what they do in that crease. I think from a fantasy perspective, a guy on my radar for next season is Dennis Hildeby, who I think has proven he's probably ready for more of a workload in the NHL, but that means a decision on Wohl and Stolarz, and if you're trading one of those guys, like, to me, it's probably Anthony Stolarz. So I think you talk about bounce back candidates, guys. It's never too early to do that for 26, 27. He's on my list. And Jake, can I interest you in Morgan Riley? As you mentioned, I do a show called Leafs Morning Take. I think it's likely Riley's playing his final few games here with the Maple Leafs. Going to go somewhere in the summer, maybe like a San Jose, and maybe he runs a first power play unit. I think he's a guy to monitor as well.
It depends on the land spot for me, obviously. Once I see where he goes, I could maybe be sold on it if it's the right fit and the right supporting cast around him. Obviously, it hasn't gone well for him the last couple years in Toronto, but we know what he is capable of if he is put in the right position. So that would be a wait and see for me. And Meany, honestly, next year is really going to be all about the bounce back. We're talking about the Leafs right now. They still need to figure out who the general manager is going to be, but we've got the Devils. We've got the Panthers. Maybe you want to throw the Rangers in there as well. Basically, half the Eastern Conference, it feels like, disappointed this year, and there's a lot of big fantasy files that we're going to be debating throughout the course of the offseason. Will they bounce back? I don't know if there's any that jump out to you right away, but I think that's going to be a huge theme of the fantasy conversation for next year.
Yeah, those are all big-time teams that a lot of people thought would be in the playoffs. The Panthers, the most games lost. I don't think Florida's going to be sneaky. I feel like come draft season, you're still going to give respect to Tkachuk and Enver Hagee potentially, but certainly the Devils have impressed me since the Olympic break, whether it's Jack Hughes and the golden goal, but he's been one of the best players here over the past few weeks, Jesper Bratt as well. But yeah, I would say that there's a lot of shakeup in the offseason, Nick. I know that we kind of joked about the players that are available via free agency, not a lot of big names. You remember some of these guys signed early on in the season. So there could be a couple shakeups, whether it's Morgan Riley. I agree with Jake. He probably needs to go somewhere else for me to be interested in him. But like Nico Hischier's a guy that could be on the move. Timo Meier, like some of these teams, especially the Devils, who have been talked about as contenders for a few years in a row now and another year of missing the playoffs. It seems like they need a shakeup as well.
This isn't a bold prediction show, but would we be shocked if Minnesota comes sniffing around this summer on maybe a Luke Hughes and a Jack Hughes in order to re-sign a Quinn Hughes, who, by the way, has a revenge game coming up on Thursday night. I know it's long-winded, but I think anything's possible when you think about Bill Guerin, and you're so right on New Jersey. They just feel like a team that's stuck in the mud, and it had me thinking, Means, too, like, as a team, as in that perspective, who's been the most disappointing team in fantasy hockey this season? I think you can make a strong argument for the Maple Leafs, even though Mitch Marner's now with the Vegas Golden Knights, New Jersey on that list. Anybody else come to mind, Means?
Well, the Rangers, Jake mentions the Rangers. I know Mika Zibanejad has been okay, and Panarin, you know, he's been fine with LA, but I think our first few episodes of the season, we talked about Artemi Panarin. Do we buy low on Panarin? What's happening? Alexi Lafreniere, nice finish to the season, a little bit too late. Adam Fox missed a little bit of time. Shesterkin missed time. So it's tough to kind of call those guys disappointments when you have injuries. But again, the Vegas Golden Knights, right? I mean, it was nice to see them show up in their first game under Torts. It was a struggle. It wasn't easy to beat a Vancouver Canucks team. They did shuffle some of their lines. I saw some Eichel with Marner and Stone at times from Torts, but ultimately that team has been a disappointing, apart from Dorofeev, Jake, your boy. Everybody else has kind of been, you know, they haven't returned value from draft day.
Meany said it right there. I was going to mention Vegas as well as a team that's in the playoffs, but I think has disappointed a lot of these fantasy files. You could look at a New Jersey and say they've disappointed all year, but if you were lucky enough to make the playoffs, New Jersey's actually scoring in fantasy playoffs. If you have Hughes and Heischer and all these guys, you're thinking, okay, well, glad I hung on. Alex Ovechkin, I've been an Ovi owner basically all year. It's been pretty disappointing. Now in fantasy playoffs, he's looking like Ovi again. So sometimes it is timing based, but Meany's right. Vegas has been disappointing. I watched that whole game against Vancouver earlier this week, Nick. Looked like the exact same Knights team, which I guess we should have expected. Eichel looks like he's out there for a twirl. He's got to step it up, especially if you're in your fantasy final right now, and you need to see more from Mitch Marner and some of the big boys here in Vegas.
Jets, I would submit the Florida Panthers to that list too. Holy smokes. If you guys remember the debate about Sergei Bobrovsky, and I think even in our fantasy draft that we did in person, we're all wondering, and Alexa Lanistoy, who hosted the show, is like, why isn't anybody touching Bobrovsky? I think we're getting the answer. Like, I think we expected some burnout from Florida, especially Bob, but a contract here, he has been dreadful. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It just has not been a good year fantasy-wise for Bob, and I think Florida in general, the expectation was there for some regression at some point here, Means, but I think they're on my list, too, in terms of disappointing fantasy teams.
And Pete knows, I mean, adjusting the goalie ranks has been very interesting. It's been strategic this season, but Bobrovsky's a guy that every single week just continues to drop and drop and drop. I mean, part of it is him, part of it, again, most man games lost. I mean, Florida had been without Seth Jones for a big chunk of the season, so certainly that hurt their blue line, wasn't getting the goal support. And Pete, you wonder, moving forward, I think that's why he wasn't dealt, because Florida really doesn't have a plan B. Like, they're all in. Last year they extended a lot of their older players like Marchand and Ekblad. They're still going to be competitive next year. When the season opens up, they're going to be one of the cup favorites in terms of the odds board, but they don't have a plan B because they traded Spencer Knight a couple years ago. So I feel like they have to bring back Bobrovsky. It's just a matter of if it's going to be a friendly contract or not.
Spencer Knight, we were talking about it, me and Means, guys, that he's one of the biggest trending up guys in the keeper and dynasty rankings with what he's done, around a 9-10 save percentage this season with the Blackhawks, and they're going to be much better in the years to come, the youngest team in the entire NHL. But what I was going to say about Florida is that was a team, unlike the Rangers, unlike the Maple Leafs and some of these other disappointments, that you would have been inclined to stack a number of Panthers on your team, and none of those guys exceeded expectations. I know injuries came into play, but the Panthers, I think, are my most disappointing team in fantasy this year.
It started with Barkov. Once that news hit, it just felt like the Panthers, Pete, were playing catch-up all season long. And Pete, I want to summon you as well, just to give us a lay of the land. I know we're talking about a mailbag. A lot of people wondering when we're going to move forward to the playoffs and the playoff pool advice and also forecasting next year. But give us a lay of the land of what's left here in fantasy hockey, at least in this regular season.
I mean, I'm big on some of these young players. We've seen Frondell, you know, having points left and right. The trade deadline acquisitions are a big storyline. You know, a lot of these guys are producing in different spots. And reacting to Porter Marton the other day, 5 shots on goal in his NHL debut, pick up this guy. He was, you know, he attempted 3 shots in those, you know, kind of net front regions. A really impressive debut, I thought, and played on the top line with Konechny, which was the line trio for Philly that played the most ice time among their forwards. So they're throwing them right onto the first power play too, guys.
Yeah, I think I saw what I wanted from Martone in that game. I know he didn't pick up a goal or an assist, but we were debating it on the pod on Monday. And I know Meany said he thinks they're just going to throw him right into the top six. It looks like he's right, at least in the early going here. And it makes sense. If you're going to bring in a young, skilled player, you're not going to bury him on the fourth line. But Philly does have a mess of forwards to kind of go through in this lineup. But loved what I saw from Martone. I think the points are going to come here, Meany. Five shots on goal, almost 17 minutes of ice time. I feel like you keep him the rest of the week, you're probably going to get something from Martone this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Frondell, right? He scored his first goal the other night. He was put into a top six role, actually immediately played with Bedard. And to see the future of Chicago, and Pete mentioned Spencer Knight, you know, the last game they had Bedard center one, Frondell center two, and Nazar center three, right? And now you're starting to build a foundation there. I mean, is that the future? Maybe one of those guys deserves to be inside the top six, but it's a really good start for where Chicago is at and the youngest team. And Nick, you mentioned just from a fantasy standpoint, you know, there's several teams that play three games. This is the time of the year where you have to make, you know, some tough decisions. And Philadelphia is one of those teams that they have three games the rest of the week, rather. And then next week, if you're in that finals matchup, it's a week and a half. You kind of just have to play the matchups, be patient with some of your moves. But, you know, picking up guys that young guys, and not just young guys, guys like Arvidsson, guys that are hot at the moment. These are the players that can help you win that championship.
I haven't mentioned on today's podcast my despise for goalies, and I'll bring this up because Bruce Bolton, who does great work over at NHL Network Radio, is my opponent in the final. Guys, you won't believe this. He's got Vladar, Gibson, Blackwood, Dostal. His goalies have allowed 18 goals on 71 shots. I've yet to get a start, but he has a 7.46, a 6.24. So, Jake, you're playing goalie for me this week in my fantasy championship.
I'm going to see old Brucey boy later today at the office. Know. So I'll buy him something from the vending machine, make him feel a little bit better, because that's a rough go. And I was watching that Colorado Vancouver game, and my first thought was, man, I don't have Blackwood, fortunately enough, but I know a lot of people would. And you'd be thinking, Meany, right? I got a minus 500 favorite in my fantasy final or semifinal. I'm going to start Blackwood, free win, maybe gives up a goal, no more than that. And then he gets absolutely shelled. And Meany, the Avs looked half asleep that entire game. They did wake up a bit late and they got the offense going, but man, brutal if you started Blackwood in fantasy on Wednesday night.
Fantasy can be cruel in these You're settings where it's one week. I love the roto settings because it's all year long and it adds up and one week doesn't matter, but it is fun to have that head-to-head matchup. Like for example, Ilya Sorokin, he's a Vezina favorite. He probably rode you into a potential bye, first or second. What happens his first game of what could be the finals? He lets in seven. And your ratios are kind of ruined, and then you're playing the catch-up game. You're streaming the goalie position. You're trying to find, you know, somebody to pick up some wins for you. So it can be tough, but you mentioned the Avs. How about Malinsky? You know, Kale McCarr is out. Malinsky's a guy that, you know, we mentioned yesterday in one of our articles. Two goals, 3 points, two shots. Up on the top power play. He's got 8 points over his last five games. He's shooting. He's blocking shots. So I know he's not going to give that type of production the rest of the way, but hey, maybe the Avs have a bounce back spot moving forward. They still have a couple games the rest of the week. He's a decent pickup.
Yeah, at least these guys, at least Blackwood wants to play. I mean, you could be an owner of Linus Allmark and he can be like, ah, you know what, I don't want to suit up for this game against the Florida Panthers. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't even the Florida game. It was the one over the weekend. But Tampa. Just disappointing from that facet. You're right. I mean, you build all season long to a fantasy championship or potential of playing for one, and then your goalies just let you down. So you're right on Makar. Malinsky had a big game against the Vancouver Canucks. He's going to assume PP1 duties. So for those of you out there still playing and are looking for replacement options on Kale Makar, doesn't sound like he's going to play for the rest of the week, maybe next week. But if you're Colorado, you're sitting pretty. Might as well rest this guy for the cup playoffs. And then Cutter Gauthier goes down against the Maple Leafs earlier this week. Could return as early as this weekend. Upper body injury. Chris Kreider, Alex Killorn is where I would look, Jake, for replacements there. And Brandon Hagel, day-to-day, doubtful for this game against Pittsburgh. And I would not be shocked to see Corey Perry back in the top six here for Tampa.
I love the Killorn shout. I was watching a lot of that Duck Sharks game on Wednesday, and he looks good. He's getting a lot of minutes in that team, kind of an under the radar player in that group of Anaheim Ducks forwards. So I do like that as a shout. And obviously there is no replacing Kale Makar, but Sam Malinsky looks somewhat up to the task, at least getting a good spot in that Avs offense. Philip Broberg's working out quite nicely this week. Meany, I know you and Pete, you guys had him on the waiver wire list early in the week. We talked about him. I don't mind him for a couple more games this week as well. So look looking at those replacements for Cale Makar. Again, you could never replace a player like that, but there are still some pretty valuable pieces on the waiver wire this time of year.
Yeah, you mentioned Blackwood, and I just wanted to go back to that from a second from like a Stanley Cup perspective, and they've been going back and forth, Blackwood, Wedgewood, and Blackwood has allowed 4+ goals now, I think 4 of his last 9 starts, roughly, and you wonder if that's Wedgewood's net moving forward. They're going to have to make some sort of decision. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the game one starter, but yeah, I mean, some questions about 3-game weeks, how to wrap this up. So the teams that play 3 games the rest of the week: Boston, Carolina, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Washington. We mentioned Weatherspoon. He was touching all categories the other day, and Mantha as well leads the Pittsburgh Penguins in goals. He's got 30 now. He's had a fantastic season. But on the blue line, I would check to see if Gostisbehere was dropped. He's nearly a point per game player. He's been in and out of the lineup. I could see him on the waiver wire in a shallow league. And I never thought I would say this, but Ristolainen is on that first power play in Philly. Maybe that's why it's near the bottom, but he is checking boxes. He's hitting guys. He's blocking shots. He's got points in back-to-back games. So he's just like a sneaky little ad, especially if you're in a bangers league.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to add that, too. He loves to hit, which is great to say. And I think certainly, too, when you look about surprising teams, I know we talked about disappointing teams. Jake, Pittsburgh has to be on that list. Like, I even anointed Kyle Dubas the GM of the year on X on Wednesday night. I just have a lot of respect for what they've put forward. Like, if you guys recall, I talked about this a month ago. We did, you know, multiple shows leading into the season where we're all like, hey, what's going to happen with Crosby? Pittsburgh's going to get the first overall pick. And Dan Muse has come in there and instilled a system. They've played it to a T. Crosby's in Crosby. Malkin's been great. We talked about the Renaissance Erik Karlsson deal. I think the Skinner deal has worked out in their favor. A lot of things have gone right. But from a fantasy perspective, they've been a goldmine for streaming this season, namely Anthony Mantha, Jake.
Their season total for points as a team in the betting market before the season was around 77.5, yeah, something in crazy. That range. That's what the market and all of us viewed Pittsburgh as. And I remember looking at that number and thinking, okay, maybe there's a touch of value. I don't think they're going to be that bad. Did not expect them to be a 100-point team. They blew past that number, and they really have been one of the best stories, if not the best story, maybe outside of Buffalo throughout the course of this season. Crosby out of the lineup sometimes, Malkin out of the lineup sometimes, Raquel missed some time, Russ. Go down the list. Basically, everybody has. Meaning now Anthony Mantha can say he's a 30-goal scorer. So many good individual stories in this Penguins lineup. Stuart Skinner gets traded from Edmonton after the success or, you know, lack of success, you could argue, the last couple of years. Now he's found a nice home in Pittsburgh, and they formed a decent tandem with him and Shelov. Just so many great stories on that Penguins lineup.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about disappointing teams like the Panthers. I feel like I could give them a pass because of all the hockey they played and the injuries. But to me, this is one of the biggest stories outside of Buffalo, which you alluded to. You mentioned the point total. They've cruised past that. They can score with any team. If they can get some sort of goaltending, we know Crosby. Just having Crosby back in the Stanley Cup Finals and Malkin and Erik Karlsson has looked like vintage Erik Karlsson. So it's a really fun team to watch. Credit to Dubas is right. You're right. He's bought low on a lot of players. Chinnikov is another guy, a nice young player, yeah. 24, 25 years old, playing inside a top six to go down as a fantasy MVP as well. And how about the Boston Bruins? This is another team that had a point total around 80. They're at 94 points, guys. Like, they're two back of the Canadiens, who are in third place. Tampa Bay, 98. Like, they're within reach of getting inside the top three in the Atlantic. And I just never, ever would have saw this coming, to have 94 points. Pavel Zak has been on a run. Victor Arvidsson's been on a run. It's not just Pasternak. Swayman won't get any love for the Vezina, but he should be right there in terms of the odds. I think Leboff brought it up the other day. In terms of the odds, he should be right there, in my opinion, with Vasilevskiy and Sorokin. He has been that good, especially at home. They've been the best home team in the NHL this year.
Meantime, I cashed my San Jose over 70-plus points ticket about a week and a half ago, Pete, which leads us to you. And obviously, we talk about fantasy MVPs this time of year. Like, Macklin Celebrini, I said this last summer. I was a bit off of my prognostication for this kid. Like, he is the next one. He's right there with the bona fide superstars, taking nothing away from Connor Bedard. He's had a really good year. But you talk about franchise-changing players, Pete. Macklin Celebrini has been a fantasy MVP this season for sure.
Definitely. You could have gotten him in the 40s, I think, on average this season. I took him in that YouTube draft. I have Celebrini and Kucherov down the stretch of the season. That's why I've finally climbed the mountain into first place. We'll see if I could hold on. But I thank those two guys for their 3-4 point games every other night It's ridiculous what they're doing. And the Sharks are only going to get better as they, as these young guys, you know, take the next steps in their careers, and Misa and Dickinson as well, and they get the goaltending in order. They're going to be able to figure out how to beef up that defense. Right now, I don't blame them for having a skeleton crew on defense, because you don't want to give a lot of money to some of these middling defensemen and then regret it 2 or 3 years down the line. So I think they're doing the smart thing, and the fact that they're 1 point out of the playoffs with 2 weeks to go is marvelous. Most improved team in the league.
Celebrini is insane here, guys. Like, I know we've said that quite a bit this year, but that watching that game against the Ducks on Wednesday night, 4 points. I don't know if I've seen a player just win a game on his own like I have on Wednesday night, basically all season long. It was just an incredible performance from Celebrini, and more of the same from what we've seen all season long here. I mean, if it's not Celebrini for fantasy MVP, I would say maybe Matt Schaefer, what he's been able to do on the back end. You probably got him so late in your fantasy drafts, and to have that kind of production from the back end over 20 goals, what he's done as a rookie, he would probably be one of my fantasy MVPs as well.
I remember the first couple weeks of the season, Matthew Schaefer was 7-1 to have 3 shots on goal. He does that consistently now. He's leads the NHL in shots over the last 14 days or so. He's been unbelievable. But for Macklin Celebrini, 17 games with 3+ points this year, 19 games with zero. He's had 105 points, fourth in the NHL. He's got 64 assists, which is the most in a single season, the third most in a single season, rather, for a teenager beside Sid and Wayne. So it's really good company. And just on the way out here, in this, I think that you're talking about defensemen, Darren Radish. That's my bold prediction. Yep. Tampa can't afford this guy. San Jose throws some bucks at him. Put Radish on that power play on that point. Oh, baby, watch the points pile up.
Yeah, that's been an impressive story, man. When we look back in a couple weeks and we sort of do some of our awards and our look backs, Darren Radish, surprising breakout player of the season. Like, I know it falls in line with the contract year, boys, but this guy has been out of this world, especially knowing, like, Victor Hedman, guys. If you look closer at the numbers, Jake, he's had a rough year when he's been in there. But I think my theory is that Tampa's been resting this guy all season long, and fingers crossed he comes back to this team and can deliver here in the Stanley Cup playoffs again.
Tampa does tend to find a way to make the salary cap work if they really do want a player. So I'm very curious what happens with Radish. Like Meany said, there might be a team or two out there that just wants to throw a bag of cash at him. And if you're Radish and you're at this point of your career, you're going to take that and kind of run with it, especially if it's a team like San Jose and you get a chance to maybe play with a Celebrini, or you look around the league at other, you know, star player possibilities. But if Tampa wants him, they will make it work, because that's what they've done before. They're ruthless with other players, like they were with Steven Stamkos, but they've also been able to squeeze players under the cap and, you know, get those hometown discounts as well. That'll be a fascinating conversation in the offseason.
Very well said. Looking forward to the revenge angle, guys, on Thursday, and that's what we're going to go after this short break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, we'll look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
All right, Petey, what are you doing with your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup?
Try to get a piece of some of these young guns around the league, some of these young rosters. I know Cutter Gauthier is injured, but you could tap into the Anaheim Ducks very easily in the open market with some of their young studs. Montreal has been a banner team for Fantasy Stars users this year with all their young talent. And then the San Jose Sharks, a lineup lock for me every single night right now is Will Smith playing with Celebrini, and that has been one of the best duos in the league this year.
It's looking like Juraj Slafkovský is a must-start every time the Canadians play. Two games on Friday. You mentioned the Ducks. Trouba is super cheap, can block you some shots. You get points and fantasy stars for that. Take a look at Troy Terry and Leo Carlson. Terry is extremely cheap as well. These two are ripping the puck, and they're hitting the score sheet. Check out NHL.com/fantasy for our under-the-radar plays, team to watch, must-starts, and download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and watch those points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Kahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. It's time now for On the Money, presented by Bet365, home of the 3-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL. Hockey fans tired of waiting for the end of the game to get paid, ready to move on to the next puck drop? That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, has 3-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up 3 goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey moves fast, and now with 3-goal early payout, there's one less thing you have to wait around for. Bet365. Download the app and see what early payout's all about. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. I talk about revenge, guys. Looking forward to the Quinn Hughes game. Looking forward to the Rasmus Anderson game as well, as he plays the Calgary Flames for the first time. So I'm going to start there, Jake. Give me Vegas puck line. I think they win by more than a goal and a half in that game. It's a lot to say considering the struggles of that team, and Calgary's been red hot as of late. And I'm going to play the Rasmus Anderson anytime goal and the stare into the crowd too. I love that.
I love that as well. Some really great games on Thursday. Very important games, obviously, for the playoff race that we have going on right now. I think I'm going to go back to my Flyers, a pick 'em price on home ice against the Detroit Red Wings, a Red Wings team that's just completely fizzling out. Now, I expect them to be desperate, but I expect Philly to bounce back in a game they had chances in. It just wasn't their best game goaltending-wise against Washington earlier this week. I like San Jose to keep it rolling. I know it's second half of a back-to-back, but no travel against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. I like a more motivated Sharks team. Maybe keep firing up those celebrations. Greeny props as well. And the Montreal Canadiens, how do we not keep riding this team? Means they've been unbelievable. A slight favorite on the road in New York, but I believe they should be a bigger favorite than they are tonight.
Yeah, six straight wins, and they're keeping the puck under their net. I think it's four games in a row, just one goal allowed. So, yeah, minus 150, maybe you can take them in regulation. I like that angle. I like where the Capitals are at, too. I mean, they're plus 550, according to Bet365, to make the playoffs. Guys, they're right there. Some of these teams in the East are struggling. Detroit, Ottawa, not impressing me. The Blue Jackets are kind of struggling at the moment as well. So Washington against the Devils, minus 105. And I think if you're looking for a dog, maybe the Jets is another team we talked about out of the Olympic break. We kind of all laughed. 11-1. Can Hellebuck, you know, get this team back in a playoff race? Well, they're just a couple points back out of a playoff spot. And Dallas coming home after an East Coast trip. So plus 140 for the Jets to get a win in Dallas. I think they're just coasting the rest of the way, the Stars.
I like it. Yeah, and the Jets would be an incredible story. I just wonder how Colorado would feel if it's them and Winnipeg in the first round. I know Hellebuck's had his issues in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but never say never when it comes to the best goaltender on the planet. We just saw him standing his head for Team USA at the Olympics. Guys, my theme for Thursday unequivocally is revenge. So playing Anderson, I'm going to play Andrew Mangiapane. It sounds like he is returning just in time for Chicago to make his return to Edmonton. Chicago at Edmonton, give me the Mangiapane anytime goal. And Jake, I'll add Vancouver at Minnesota, Quinn Hughes over a point and a half, and maybe a Marco Rossi goal just for good measure.
What does Vancouver have left in the tank after what we saw on Wednesday? Do they have another eight goals in them? We'll have to tune in to find out. Probably not. I'm gonna take the under on the eight goals on Vancouver on tonight's card. So I like some of these angles. Mangiapane, I wasn't expecting that one. And Meany, I do love that Jets play. Dallas is kind of fizzling right now. They're sort of stuck in that two spot. They can't really move forward, can't really move down. I don't know, motivation. They've got some injuries as well. I do really like that Jets angle as an underdog. And I'll throw a future. I'll keep the Montreal Canadiens love going here, guys. The Eastern Conference odds, just to win the East, to make the cup final out of that section. We know Tampa's good. We know Carolina's good, but I think we've all questioned the Canes' goaltending. Can they get it done? I think it's a totally fair question with what they have. Not questioning Montreal goaltending right now. Jakub Dobish has been the hottest goaltender, maybe hottest player in the entire National Hockey League. Heck, Meany, they're taking a run at the top spot in the Atlantic Division right now. They're right there with Tampa and Buffalo. They could end up with home ice advantage in the first round, and they're still 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference over at Bet365. Same price as an Ottawa Senators team that might not even make the playoffs. I think that's crazy. A real good number on Montreal.
I don't know what the deal is with the Senators and all the love that they get. And people's talk. I'm hearing chatter about how they'd be favorites against every team in the East minus two teams. It's like they got to get in first. And they're just hurting on the back end, right? And losing their top two guys, and they're not getting the goaltending. So I do like that angle. And certainly the Canadians are playing their best hockey at the moment. Boston, I'll go back to the Bruins. You know, tough spot for them. Don't know if I can really get behind them at minus 165 to win in Florida, but some of these guys like Victor Arvidsson, who has 10 points over a four-game streak, getting plus money, you know, for three shots and a point. Pavel Zacha up on that line. You could take those two guys to hit the score sheet and get nearly plus 170 at Bet365. The Bruins are just feeling it at the moment.
Petey props, what do you got, bud?
I'm going with the garbage time angle, whether it's nice. Fantasy or betting props. I love this angle this time of year. These teams are playing loose, nothing to play for. Look at some of these numbers you can get on some trending up guys on these bad teams. Brock Besser, you can get plus money on him for three plus shots. He's got four goals in his past three games, had a hattie against the Avs, plus 310 for an anytime goal. For the Calgary Flames, Olli Maatta and Ryan Strom have 10 points in 13 games since being traded before the deadline, plus 265 for a point for Maatta, plus 182 for a point for Strom, and even throw Victor Olofsson in there, you could get him plus 280 for three plus shots. I mean, you could parlay these guys together for a garbage time parlay. How about that?
That's awesome. The revenge parlay, right? Because Olofsson also in that deal with Rasmus Anderson. Yeah. I'm really, again, I haven't been keen on the NHL and watching games the last little while. It's just been a dull point in the season, but ramping up now. The Stanley Cup playoffs just around the corner, finishing off the fantasy hockey slate as well. Another on the money in the books, presented by Bet365, home of the three-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL, Jake, as we look ahead to Monday, Week 24 waiver wire edition.
Getting closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I can taste it. I can't wait to get into the brackets and all those sorts of things. But still lots to decide before we get there. And my thoughts are with all Mackenzie Blackwood owners out there, including our good pal Bruce Bolton. Tough one on Wednesday night, and we'll see if you get bounced back. You still got the weekend to try to salvage it.
Sickening stuff. I've mentioned this the last couple days. I don't know what I dislike more, MLB relievers or goalies in the NHL. I'm maybe siding back with goaltenders as we have this conversation to wrap this Thursday edition. For Jay Kahn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.